Okay, we're trying the next short shiur to try to give a little bit of an overview in terms of what's Chol HaMoed, one of the most complicated areas in Halacha. The Gemara itself says that's complicated, because the Gemara says that in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, it's very hard to derive one principle from another. A lot of klolim that really have to be worked out properly in order to understand how the Halachas play out. There is a major machlekes Rishonim that permeates all of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and that is, are any of the things that we're about to discuss, Dinim Midraisa, these are all Dinim Midrabanan. So there is a machlekes between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam about this very nekuda. Rabbeinu Tam says that the halachas of Chol HaMoed are so complicated that they so don't fit into the regular rules of those malachas of Shabbos and Yontif that they must only be midrabanan. Otherwise, it would be impossible to have such an idea that some things are mutter, some things are rasa, double of it is mutter, and tzarchem rab is mutter, and tzarchem rab is rasa. You have so many different klalim that don't seem to really be able to be pinned down to any pasuk and chumash, any real din deraisa. It must be the whole thing is only midraban. That was the view of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rashbam disagrees. The Rashbam says, no, that malachas Chol HaMoed is a deraisa. The Rashbam, at the end of Maseches Pesachim, comments when the Gemara says that kol mevaza samoy ados ki'ilu obin avodah zarah. If a person treats the Yom Tovim disrespectfully, that's tantamount to Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk for that. Because it says in Parshas Kisisa, Elohim ha'sechol osa ha'seloch, eschach ha'matzos tishmor. So the Gemara sounds like this. It's a real pasuk, it's a real drasha. It's someone who's mevaza samu ados. What does it mean to be mevaza samu ados? So the Rashbam says, someone who does malach and chol HaMoed. Rashbam says that the Gemara's not talking about doing malach on Yom Tov. I need a drasha to tell me you can't do malach on Yom Tov. I call malach zaved lasasi. Chayv malchus for doing malach on Yom Tov. But the pasuk is teaching us is that even if a person treats Chol HaMoed disrespectfully, it's also smacks of being ovid avodah zarah. So the Rashbam seems to assume that the malach is Chol HaMoed whenever it's also is in fact nisa d'oraisa. How do you have such a strange thing that if it's really a nisa d'oraisa, how come there are so many different terim? So the Sefer Chinuch writes that it falls into that category of halacha, what's called lo masar kasav el lechachamim. That sometimes you have dinim that were given befavors to Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't do lamates malachas and Shabbos, and don't do 35 malachas and yantav, whatever the malachas and yantav are also a mutter. There are certain very specific dinim that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And sometimes there were dinim that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu that were presented as follows, that the general halacha is true, means you have to treat Chol HaMoed different from other days. It's chag matzos tishmor. That Shivas Yomim, it's a day of celebration, it's a chag of 7 days, it's a mikra kodesh for 7 days, so there is a degree of celebration that takes place in the Torah on Chol HaMoed, and there is a concept of Nisim Malach on Chol HaMoed. But Lamasara Kosav El Chachamim, that the Torah gave the Chacham the right to set the limits, set the parameters, what exactly is considered to be appropriate for Chol HaMoed, what's considered to be inappropriate for Chol HaMoed. Whatever the limits that the Chachamim set now becomes Deraisa. So it's a different type of a Deraisa. It's a Deraisa that depends upon the Kviyas of the Chachamim. But once the Chachamim set into motion the rules, then if a person violates Malachas Chol HaMoed, he's in violation of a Nisa Deraisa. So this is a big, big machlekes in Rishonim. Is there any Deraisa b'chlal in Hilchos Chol HaMoed? According to the Rashbam, yes. According to the Sefer Chinuch, yes. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, so the whole Malachas Chol HaMoed, Mitchim Levi'atzayf, is only midrabanan. It's going to happen after Mizlanina, but you have Sveikas and Shalas that come up with the Chol HaMoed. How much do we have a right to be Mekel? How much are we supposed to be Machmir? So we have a little bit of a background to Chol HaMoed, but what exactly are these rules? What exactly are the ABCs of Hilchos Chol HaMoed? So the very first Mishnah already in Maseches Moed Koton speaks about one of the important rules in Hilchos Chol HaMoed is what's called the Dover Aved. Chazal, either the Torah, Chazal, whatever it is, lifted the prohibition of Malach and Chol HaMoed if it's a Dover Aved. If it's something that a person is going to suffer loss, that's considered to be Mutter. Why is that Mutter exactly? What kind of Heter is that? Well, it's a Hefter Meruba, so therefore it's Mutter. Well, what kind of Heter is that? So there's a Ritva in Maseches Moed Koton where the Ritva writes that the reason why Chazal lifted the Isser, why the Halacha lifts the Isser of Malach and Chol HaMoed, V'mocha Dover Avid, is for the following. That the whole idea of the Isser Malach and Chol HaMoed, the Deraisa Derabanan, is supposed to preserve the Kedushas Hayom, it's supposed to preserve the Simchas Hayom, it's supposed to make the Yontif special. That's why we find that certain Malachas which are Litzorach Hayom are Mutter. Anything which is going to enhance the celebration of Yom Tov is basically mutter. Anything that's going to detract from the celebration of the Chol HaMoed is basically also. That's really the underlying principle of Hilchos Chol HaMoed. It all depends on, am I doing malacha that's making the Yom Tov better, or am I doing malacha that's making the Yom Tov worse? So Malachas Davar Ovid is a psychological Tzorach Hayom, the Ritva says. If we're not going to permit Malachas Davar Ovid, the guy's going to have a miserable Yom Tov. He's sitting there knowing that his whole field is going down the tubes. First Mishnah might cut that he can't get his field irrigated, all his crops are dying, and how can you expect him to celebrate Yom Tov properly? So forget, that's called the Tzorach Hayom. Every Davar Ovid is by definition considered to be a Tzorach Hayom. It's based on this, that there are some poskim who say that when you have a suffik davra aved, a suffik davra aved is going to be mutter also. Why? Because a suffik miserable yantav is also a miserable yantav. It means if I'm afraid that my $100,000 field may get ruined, that's also going to shtar my yantav. So the whole matter of davar aved is not so much the davar aved, it's not so much we care about your field. It's not so much that we want you to have money. No, what we care about is that your yantav spirit. So if you're going to suffer a loss, that's going to detract you from celebrating, that's going to deter you from celebrating yantav properly. That svar is going to fly, even if it's a suffik davar aved. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from many achronim, that even a suffik davar aved is mutter, provided that it's realistic, it means it's some kind of a real fear. If a guy's not a nervous person, he's anxious about everything in the world, so everything is a suffik davar aved, that's not true. But if it's a realistic suffik davar aved, so then there are poskim more makel based on the svar of the Ritva. There is an important distinction that the Rishonim point out based on the Gemara in Moed Katan between a davar aved and a menias harevach. Davar aved means that I own something, and I'm going to lose that object, or I may lose that object. Menias harevach means I don't own it yet, but I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get the following profit. That's not called the davar aved. That's called menias harevach. Menias harevach is also in Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, I'm the davar self. I have to go to work. Why do I have to go to work today? Because I won't make money. So that's exactly what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to go to work. You're not supposed to make money. That's not called the davar aved. Davar aved means, let's say I have something already, so I have a field, and the field is now flooding. So the field used to be worth, the crops used to be worth $10,000. And if they flood and I don't do something about it, it's going to be worth $2,000. That's called a davar aved. But just the fact that I'm not going to make money in the future, that's not called davar aved. That's what, let's say, for example, a person has a job, and they're afraid they're going to lose their job. Right? Their job's on the line, they think the boss is going to may fire them if they don't show up in Chol HaMoed. That's called a davar aved. They have the job already. I mean, it's my job, and I've already been zarech on this job, I've been working for the last 10 years, and now I'm going to lose my job because of Chol HaMoed. That's not called the Melechus Davar Aved. But let's say the boss says to me, listen, you don't have to come this week. It's perfectly okay. You don't have to come this week. I'm not going to fire you. On the other hand, I'm not going to pay you. If you don't come, I'm not giving you paid vacation. It's going to be unpaid vacation days. So then, that's not called Davar Aved, because I'm losing money. I'm not losing anything. I'm not gaining a salary in the future. That's not called Davar Aved.
What about, a sale?
But that's the Rishalmi. So there's a Rishalmi that speaks about if you have a Shiyara, a bowl of ear, let's say you have a big caravan, comes to town, and there's some kind of a big sale or something. So the Rishalmi says that's called the Dover of it. So that's what the Rishalmi bothered with. Why is it Dover of it? So I won't buy it. I won't buy and sell. So I won't make the extra money. So some Rishalmi explain, or Rabban explains, that's based on the following, that it depends what they're coming to sell. They're coming to sell things which are normal household kinds of needs. I always need these kinds of things. I always buy these kinds of things all the time. So the price is gonna go up right after the yantav. That's called like a davar aved, because it's understood that's part of my yearly budget, my yearly expenses, that I always have to buy new things. Masha'en came, let's say it's something which I don't buy all the time. It's once in a yantav, some great deal or something. So maybe that's not called a davar aved. So again, that becomes very tricky. What's trying that Yerushalmi in light of what we're saying? But clearly there is a principle which distinguishes between davar aved in contrast to menias harevach. When we speak about davar aved, so the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, that you're not allowed to plan a davar aved, but that's what's called mechave melachta b'moed. Let's say I know in advance that I'm having trouble irrigating my field, and I got to at some point take care of this problem. It's a week before Pesach. I can do it now, but I don't want to do it now. Why don't I want to do it now? Because I'm doing my other jobs now. But I know next week, Chol HaMoed, my regular job is going to be off. I'm going to have a lot of free time in my hand. So next week, I'll go ahead and I'll take care of my field, and I'll hide behind the mission in Ma'ikot, in the first mission in the base, that you're allowed to be mashkin asasad, you're allowed to irrigate your field in Chol HaMoed, because it's the davar aved. So the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to do that. That's called Mechavim Melachta B'moed. You planned on having your davar aved. You can't have a planned emergency. A davar aved means when it comes up by itself. But if it was, if you were mechavim nipikach, that's not considered to be a davar aved. So that becomes also a very tricky question. How far does that go in terms of mechavim malachta b'moed? But Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that mechavim malachta b'moed is only a problem if the reason why you're dilly-dallying and you're not doing it now is because in the back of your mind you know that you have more time on your own to do it. That's not appropriate. But let's say there's a real reason why you're not doing it now. It would be very inconvenient to do it now. There are other factors involved that are preventing you from doing it now. So I'm not trying to be mechavim malachta b'moed. I know I could theoretically do it now, but it's going to be a big, big hassle to do it now. There's something which is preventing me from doing it now. That's not called malachav malachta b'moed. So again, you have to take case-by-case basis how far this rule goes. So again, yes, there's a klal of davar aved, it's true. And the Ritva claims davar aved is based on a psychological tzorech hayom. And maybe even a suffering davar aved is mutter. But you have to be careful, even within the heft of davar aved, that you don't go overboard. That it's not a menias harevach, and it's not a mechavim malachta b'moed. What if you have other kinds of malachas which are not davar avid b'chlal, but they're merely to enhance the of tzorach hayom? So here the Mishnayos and Malachot and differentiate between different types of malachas, what's called the ma'aseh uman and what's called the ma'aseh hedyom. So a ma'aseh uman is something that a professional does, let's say, I don't know, fix something on your car or something, electrician, plumbers, I don't know, things that you have to call on a professional to do the job. That's called a ma'aseh uman. A ma'aseh hedyom means any Tom, Dick, and Harry can figure out how to do it on his own. So what's the klal? So says the Mishnah, depends. If it's something which is not l'tzorach hayom b'chlal, there's really no need to do it now, so then there's no heter to do anything, even a ma'isa uman or ma'isa hedyom. But if it's something which is l'tzorach hayom, so then a tzorach hayom, a ma'isa hedyom would be mutter. That if it's, let's say for argument's sake, I need something, a button to be sewn or something. So the Ramah happens to write that sewing buttons maybe a ma'isa uman. But let's assume that would be for a second. Maybe that's a ma'isa hedyom. If you would assume, against the Ramah, if you would assume it's a ma'isa hedyom, so I need a button to be sewn on my shirt. So I need a fiyantif. I need the shirt fiyantif. So in the mail, I'm allowed to sew the button. What if I don't need the shirt fiyantif? What if I have 20 other shirts to wear? So that's not a tzarech hayom. That would be also, notwithstanding the fact that it's a ma'isa hedyom. But if it's a ma'isa uman, tough luck, even if it's a tzarech hayom, that would be problematic. So let's say you want to do a car repair or something. Even if you want to argue that the tzarech hayom, let's say my car, I have problems on my car, and I need the car for Yom Tov. I got to drive to shul, I got to go to yeshiva, I got to whatever, yeshiva, I got to go here, yeshiva, whatever, I'm going to use the car to it, I got to drive to Six Flags, I got to use my car to enhance my Yom Tov. The problem is that anything job that's going to be done on a car is usually going to be a ma'aseh uman. That's going to be a big problem to get a car repair done on Chol HaMoed, because even though it's a tzorach hayom, but it's a ma'aseh uman tzorach hayom, that would be problematic. What are you going to do? Then I got to rent the car, and I got to figure out another way. Got to borrow a car, but stop to get a car repair job done on Chol HaMoed is a very, very serious problem on Lefinius Da'iti. But we say that one's not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, so we assume that applies to Ayde Acham as well. Yimar has a shayla about whether the Isser of Amir Yacham applies to other areas of halacha outside of Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a suffix in the Gemara, like the Mishnah. Even that one machmeran. But Chol HaMoed, so Tosfos points out, that's the Ferish in the Gemara. Chol HaMoed is the same as Shabbos and Yom Tov in this area. So whatever you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to ask a goy to do on your behalf as well. So again, so if it's the Tzorech HaMoed and it's the Ma'aseh Hedyom, then it's going to be mutter. Sometimes.
Sorry, if you have a Dvar
Aved. Dvar Aved is mutter even in Ma'aseh Uman.
Yeah, for Ma'aseh Uman.
Right, listen, my car's going to get, it's going to explode if I don't get it done. I don't know, it's going to blow up. I had to be makel to get a car repair done on Chol HaMoed because the lock on the door or something was broken, whatever, the cutoff switches or whatever it was, the security system was broken. That's a Dvar Aved. If you live in a place, you go and park your car and watch your nights, and you're afraid the car's going to be gone, even with the security system, it's going to be gone. So that's a Dvar Aved. That would be mutter. Ma'aseh uman, the tzorach for a Dvar Aved is mutter. However, even though the Rishonim tell us, based on the Mishnah from the end of Moed Katan, that one is only allowed to do a Ma'aseh Hedyot if it's the tzorach HaMoed, generally speaking, not a Ma'aseh uman, there is an exception to that rule. That's the exception if it's a davar shel echol nefesh. Let's say it's something that's food related, so that food echol nefesh is muti even on yontif, kavachayim is muti even on chol moed. Even those types of echol nefesh that are problematic on yontif are muti on chol moed. Let's say even on yontif where you're allowed to do echol nefesh, where you're not allowed to harvest your grain, you're not allowed to grind your grain. There are a lot of malachas that are also to be done on yontif, either deraisa, derabanan, but on chol moed everything is muti. Chol moed, anything that's food oriented is totally mutter, even a ma'aseh uman. Not only is the actual preparation of the food mutter on Chol HaMoed for ma'aseh uman, but even what's called machshirei echol nefesh is also mutter. What does machshirei echol nefesh mean? Let's say you have to fix your refrigerator or something. So my refrigerator broke, and I got to get it fixed. So even if you want to argue that I could put the food somewhere else and it's not a davar aved, the food's not going to get ruined, but still, it's going to enhance my other. I need a place to put my food. So one would be permitted to get a professional, call a professional to fix the refrigerator, but that's called machshir echol nefesh. That wouldn't be mutter on yontif, but on chalamay, that would be mutter. It's machshir echol nefesh. The tzorech echol nefesh itself is going to be mutter. When we speak about echol nefesh being a category in of itself, there's mishnayos and gemaras that bear out this idea. The Ramban brings raya's. The Ramban wrote up in his introduction to Maseches Berakot, wrote a whole kuntras all about echol nefesh. Two pages about giving an overview of all echol nefesh. So in there he brings raya's from the gemara of Eferish that echol nefesh is muti even a ma'aseh uman, and even machshir echol nefesh is muti for a ma'aseh uman. What if it's not echol nefesh proper? What if it's other kind of tzarchei haguf? It makes you more comfortable, physically more comfortable on echol nefesh. Is that considered to be like echol nefesh, and therefore everything is mutter, even the ma'aseh uman is mutter? Or do we say that's like a other tzarcha yom, that's like fixing a shirt, which would depend upon whether it's a ma'isa uman or a ma'isa hedyom. So many of the poskim point out that it would appear that all tzarcha yaguf are mutter as well. There's a ritval, Maseches Berakot, that seems to say that, that all tzarcha haguf, tzarcha anos haguf, is by definition considered to be like a oichel nefesh, and therefore it's totally mutter. So it's based on this that the poskim discuss fixing air conditioners on Chol HaMoed. I don't know whether we're going to need it to get the heat fixed a little bit, but if it gets very hot in Chol HaMoed, you want to fix the air conditioning, you have to call in a repairman, would that be mutter or not? So if you hold that fixing the air conditioner is hanos aguf, hanos aguf is like an ochel nefesh, and ochel nefesh, even ma'isa uman, would be mutter. So Rav Moshe writes that mikra din is probably mutter, but you should try to be careful not to make a whole scene about it, to have a big air conditioning repair truck, a plumber truck or something, a heated truck, sitting in the driveway the whole day, Chol HaMoed, that doesn't look right. So try to tell a guy to park across the street, whatever, try to do it in a way that's not so, such as elusive yomtiv. That idea appears in the Shulchan Aruch that sometimes you have certain things in Yontif and Chol HaMoed that's mutter to do, and Abba Bichain, you shouldn't do it lifnei Amba Eidi. You shouldn't do it so publicly. It shouldn't lead to a zilzul of Yontif, a zilzul of Chol HaMoed. People will see you're going to do that. Next thing they know, they're going to be calling the repairman to do other jobs. You have to be careful in terms of zilzul of Chol HaMoed. But meikah b'ikra din, pashtus should be mutter, because we assume that the other tzarchei haguf are considered to be like Ochel Nefesh as well. And you have another category, Nuchas Chol HaMoed, and that's Tzarchei Rabim. So if you have Tzarchei Rabim, so there are certain etayim that you're permitted to do for Tzarchei Rabim. You're not permitted even to do Ma'is Umans for Tzarchei Rabim. And here the Gemara gives you examples, and Shai is ready to give you examples of Tzarchei Rabim. So Mishnah speaks about, let's say you have holes in the ground or something, you have to close them up, people are getting cracks in the pavement, people are getting hurt, things like that. That's considered to be Tzarchei Rabim. Those kinds of things would be permissible on Chol HaMoed. In the realm of Tzarchei Rabim, we usually lift the limitation of Mechave Melachta B'moed. Normally we said Mechave Melachta B'moed is problematic, but for Tzarchei Rabim, we're not so concerned with that. And the reason being is that when it comes to Tzarchei Rabim, so you can't get people to do something unless they're all off from work. If you can tell everybody, let's get everybody together to fix the streets the week before Yom Tov, no one's going to want to do it. It's not going to happen. So by Tzarchei Rabim, the Chazal even more makel that you're permitted to do it on Chol HaMoed itself. However, the Rashba writes in the Tshuva that when we speak about Tzarchei Rabim, that speaks about physical Tzarchei Rabim. Like you need the roads to be paved, you need the wells to be dug, things of that nature. Those things would be mutter to be done in Chol HaMoed. But what if it's just spiritual Tzarchei Rabim? Let's say you have to build a shul. So Rashba says, if I build a shul, it's not a physical tzarchei. It'll survive. We'll be able to have Yom Tov. We have to have Chol HaMoed without a shul. Your spiritual needs may not be met, but that's not considered to be necessarily a Tzarchei Rabim. So that's a whole shaila. There seems to be a little bit of a steer in the poskim about this, about two different Tzarchei Rabims that are addressed. One is the issue of building a shul. We assume you're not supposed to build a shul on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, the Rishonim talk about fixing a Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to write for the Sefer Torah. So normally the rules of writing, or the Mishnah says you're not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. The Farish of Mishnah. My daughter just asked me the other day, she said that some of her friends said that their minig is to write on Chol HaMoed. So she asked me, is this like a minig? Is this like a bracht? Like some people write, some people don't. I said, no. I said, this is an isser. It's a din in the Mishnah. It may be a deraisa, maybe a derabanan, but it's also to write in Chol HaMoed. The starting point is a vadi not allowed to write in Chol HaMoed. Then you have to find a reason why it's mutter. Okay, so sometimes it's mutter. So it's mutter like any other malacha, depending on the rules of Chol HaMoed. So usually we assume that you're allowed to write in Chol HaMoed for the following reason. We assume there are more rights, that our writing is considered to be a ma'isa hedyot. We just scribble any Tom, Dick, and Harry knows how to write. Says the Ramah, if you're a soifer, you're a calligrapher or something, that's considered to be a ma'isa uman. You have to be trained to write properly. But a guy just scribbles some notes, or scribbles some shopping list or something, that's considered to be a ma'isa hedyot. So therefore, a ma'isa hedyot is mutter if it's a tzarech haboy. If it's not a tzarech haboy, then it's problematic. So that's what the Psach of the Ramah is mikra din. Also write that many have a minute to write derech shinoi, just as a chumra bialma. But the ikar din, the real het that a write in Chol HaMoed is if it's a tzarech haMoed, if it's enhancing the yomtiv somehow, and it doesn't have to be such a tremendous enhancing of the yomtiv. I remember many years ago, I went bowling on the Chol HaMoed, Rabbi Willig and his kids, many, many moons ago, when I used to be the youth leader in the Gizel Riverdale. So we went bowling, and those days, you guys probably don't know this, but in the olden days, they used to actually write down the score of bowling. Not like today. So they used to have big machlokes. Because if you look at it, depending on the angle that you look at the pin, it was either 7 pins down, 4 pins down, you always had the same fights. One guy said only 2 pins fell down, the other guy says there 8 pins fell down. So you used to have different sheets depending on how you look at it. so I remember at the time Rabbi Willi was keeping score. He was writing. So I asked him, Yomodeinu Rabbeinu, what's the hetter to write down? So he said to me, Tzorach Tzorach Hayom. Tzorach Hayom doesn't mean it has to be a tremendous, unbelievable tzorach. It's Simchas Yontif. Misameach Banu Rebeisa. It's a Din Deraisa. Misameach Banu Rebeisa Bechag. So the kids are enjoying the game. You have to go bowling without keeping score. That's a very, very boring game. They just take some balls and throw them down. There's no point to that. I took the kids bowling. Last week there was like some tzedakah fundraiser or something for bowling in Pina. So I took the kids there. So, but we came at the end, so we only had the lanes for like another like 20 minutes, so we have to bowl really, really fast. So I took, Grima was with us, so they didn't have the bumpers. So, it's a big deal, so well, 20 gutter balls, so it's a big deal, she doesn't understand anyway, so the pins go down, go up, doesn't matter. At the end, they all go down anyway from the machine, so it looks like she knocked them down. But I realized the problem is when you take a little kid bowling is that the ball never makes it down to the end. They just drop it and it's going to get so streaky. And then showing I can't believe I said. So the first couple of frames, so I said, let me push it with you. So she got all upset. So but she dropped it and then I gave it to Zet, so it went down. So she got really, really angry. So she didn't want to do that anymore. So she said, I'm doing it all by myself. I said, okay, fine. I let her do the next one. Kachava. So the ball got stuck. And we had to wait for 20 minutes. By the time the guy came to get the ball, the game was over. So we bowled three frames. That was the whole thing. It was a very boring game. So that's boring. When you bowl and you don't finish the game, you don't keep score. The whole thing is, you have to throw balls down at a bunch of pins. You have to be a stop machine. Anyway, so back to bowling. So at the time, Rabbi Willick said he thought that was a Tzorach Hayom. So the Tzorach Hayom, it's mutter to write because we paskin it's a nice head yom. But that head there, if it exists, is only true for general writing. What about a sofer writing? A sofer writes because it's a sefer Torah. Ain lecha nice umen godel mizeh. So what possible hetter could that be? And maybe there is no hetter. So that's in the Gemara in Maseches Mekotin speaks about that you're not allowed to fix even a Sefer Torah. I feel the Sefer Torah should be Azara. That's the lashon that the Gemara uses. That the Sefer Torah and the Azara you're not allowed to fix. So there's Machlekes that we showed him. Why did the Gemara pick on the Sefer Torah and the Azara? So some Rishonim say that Kal V'Chaimer, that means even the Sefer Torah and the Azara, which was the authentic Sefer Torah that was used to check all of the Sefer Torah against, the most important Sefer Torah in the world, if Chalila, a mistake, the word fades out there, it could be a terrible kill call. Even the Sefer Torah and the Azara, you're not allowed to fix. Kal V'Chaimer, a regular Sefer Torah. What's the hetter to fix the Sefer Torah? It's a Maisa Uman. There's no hetter whatsoever. It's not a Chol Nefesh. What's the hetter? It's the Tzorach Hayom, you want a lane, but that's not a matir of Maisa Uman. Other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara didn't mean a filu Sefer Torah Shabbat Azara. The Gemara meant the Sefer Torah and the Azara you're not allowed to fix because you're not using it anyway. They didn't read from the Sefer Torah and the Azara except for Yom Kippur. So what do you have to fix it on Chol Moed Sukkot for? You wait till the next Yom Kippur to fix it. But let's say I'm davening in Ora Torah in Bergenfield and I need the Sefer Torah and there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. Are you allowed to fix it? Why are you allowed to fix it? What's the head there? Maybe you can argue it's Tzorchei Rabim that the shul needs a Sefer Torah. We have to learn it's Tzorchei Rabim. But the problem is the Rashba says that that's not called Tzorchei Rabim because the Rashba says only physical Tzorchim are considered to be Tzorchei Rabim. So that's the teller that the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying to himself. That the Shulchan Aruch quotes that you're not allowed to build a shul on Chol Hamoed because that's not a Tzorchei Rabim because that's a spiritual Tzorch. But then the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you don't have any other Sefer Torah, you're allowed to fix the Sefer Torah on Chol Hamoed. Those two dinim seem to contradict one another. That's what the Gra writes. The Gra points out that the Sefirah, that those two things, the L'chaira contradict one another. So the Poskim explained that the mistam what the Shulchan Aruch meant was is that to fix the Sefer Torah that you have to lane from, that's like a Dovra Oved. Why is that a Dovra Oved? Because you're going to lose out the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. It means you're mechuyav in Kriyas HaTorah. When it comes to a shul, so you'll daven, it's a tzorech, but you'll daven in a guy's basement, you'll daven in the street, you'll daven here, you'll daven there, you'll find a place. You're not going to lose Tfilah Mitzibur, it's just not going to be very comfortable. But Kriyas HaTorah, you don't have a Sefer Torah, so you're not going to be able to lane. That, maybe that's considered like a Dovra Oved. Dovra Oved, even a Maisa Uman is mutter. So that's how we pass it. We pass in that we don't build shuls on Chol Hamoed, but we do fix Sefer Torah on Chol Hamoed if we're stuck. There's no other safer around. You have three svarim in shul, so then you don't have to fix it. You shouldn't fix it. But if you only have one safer, so then we assume you're permitted to fix it. There is a further machlekes the poskim. Why do I have to fix a Megillah? Let's say to fix Megillah's Kehelas, so Megillah's Shirashirim on Chol Hamoed, would that be permissible as well? So Ma'aseh Shaykh Achoyas, we had the Shaila once, that we don't learn from a klaf, but one of the places the Tinek does, and it was Shabbos Chol Hamoed, I think, I don't remember if it was Kehelas or Shirashirim, whatever it was, a couple of years ago, we were in the middle of davening Shacharis, and someone from the other shul comes running up to me, and then right up to the front of the shul, And it's not the motion, he's going to talk to me right away. I figured it's a kuf nefesh, who knows what. So what's the matter? So we said we're gonna lane from a klaf now, but we don't have there's a mistake in the klaf or something. We allowed a lane from a klaf which is missing one of the letters or something. What's the din? So it was on Shabbos itself. That was a question. He wasn't asking whether he could fix it on Shabbos. The question was whether he's allowed a lane from it. So I motioned him. I got for him the Sefer Chol HaMoed, in the back of the Sefer Nuchas Chol HaMoed. So we quote some Machlekes HaPoskim about whether you're allowed to fix a Megillah on Chol HaMoed, and part of the Shaila revolves around the din, are you allowed a lane from a cloth which is missing letters, missing words? What's the Shaila? By Megillas Esther, you're allowed it. That's the Farish, it's called an Igeret. Some Poskim write, if you're allowed a lane Megillas Esther, which is a real din from a cloth that's missing letters, Kavachom HaShashir, which is not a real din, Avadi, you can make a bracha, it's a minute, you yaitse, the minute, the din, whatever it is, you're allowed a lane from a cloth which is missing letters. And other Poskim say, no, that Megillas Esther is different. Because Esther is more kav because it's called an Igeres, other Megillas are not called an Igeres, and therefore, unless it's a Megillah Shlema, then you can't make a bracha on it, it's not a real Megillah, it's not a real cloth. So there's a Mechlegis HaPoskim in Huchas Chol HaMoed, are you allowed to fix a cloth of Shir Shirim or Koheles? The Shail is it kosher the way it is? So according to those who say it's kosher the way it is, so then what's the heter to fix it on Chol HaMoed? Those who say that it's possible, then you could argue that the same way it's mutter maybe to fix a Sefer Torah, if you really hold you're supposed to lay from a cloth, this is also considered to be like a davar oved. I'm losing out the ability to lay from a cloth. So that's a shaila. So this shaila, whether you're allowed to lay from a Megillah that's missing letters, is really a Chol HaMoed shaila. That's why I was trying to umkut the guy in the middle of davening, that this shaila that he's asking me is really, really rooted in Chol HaMoed. So I showed him in the back of the Sefer Chol HaMoed, this machlek is HaPoskim. It's quoted over in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhiner that you're allowed to fix it. And the Poskim say it's Tachatela, it's Rav Chaim Volozhiner Lashitoso, because he was the Talmud of the Gra. The Gra held you have to lay from a cloth, the Megillah, you make a bracha, etc. But most people don't do that. Most shuls don't follow their practice. So shuls that don't follow their practice, just as a Midas Chasidus, I want to have a cloth for Shir Shirim. So because you're Midas Chasidus having a cloth, you're going to write it in Chol HaMoed, you're going to fix it in Chol HaMoed. That's not really correct. So if I would say that to fix a Sefer Torah, there's mamish no choice, then you're allowed to fix it. To fix a Megillah, not such a big tzairich, so it's probably better not to fix a Megillah on Chol HaMoed. So typing is considered to be, typing is probably not a ksiv altogether. I mean, typing on a computer, the post can write, is not considered to be ksiv, but there's nothing really there. It's not letters in space. The printing, I think, is a problem. Printing is considered to be a mice ksiv, and it's a mice hedgehog, and you know, I can figure out the press, control P, you figure it out. It's not that hard. Sometimes it takes me a while to find the buttons, but I can do it once in a while. But with something that's only considered to be a mice hedgehog, the mice hedgehog is also awesome, unless it's the tzarech hayom. So if you want to print out the return or something, you want to print out something to give to somebody important, that would be mutter. But if you just stop printing out things which are not letzarech hayom, let's say a person is studying for a test or something, so what's the tzarech hayom exactly? You want to study, you want to read, okay, that you can do it in Chol HaMoed. But to write in Chol HaMoed just stop for the purpose of studying, what exactly is the tzarech hayom? Somebody asked me a shayla a couple of years ago that they, by mistake, they had scheduled to take the LSATs on Chol HaMoed. And when they signed up for 6 months before, they didn't realize it was Chol HaMoed. And they had studied a lot, and now they didn't take it now, so when's the next LSATs? You have to wait a few months, no? No? Is that true? What? There are a few months in between them, right? So the guy really studied, then all of a sudden he realized he tested on Chol HaMoed. And he had taken a whole course about it. He's afraid he's going to forget. He's going to say, that was a shtickle dover of it. He invested a lot of time and money into it. So now it's to tell him not to do it is going to cause him a backlog. He's going to have to waste more time in the summer to study again for the same test. I thought that was a shtickle dover of it. So maybe you could be mad for him to take it. It's only a nice hedger anyway. But it's even a nice uman, maybe we'll be put if it's a dover of it. Even though there's a whole question about writing in terms of the Sefer Torah, but just personal writing, which is a Maisa Hedyot, which is a typing, which is probably a Maisa Hedyot, that's the mutter of its Tzarech Hayom, even though it's not Rechel Nefer, it's not Dover Ovid. That's the Poskim discuss about writing, let's say, Shir notes. A person sitting in a Shir or Chol HaMoed, they want to take notes of something, so the Poskim assume that that's mutter. Some say that's the Dover of it also, because you're afraid if you don't write it down, you're going to forget it. Let's say a person's learning on their own, and they want to, scribble in some things on the side of the Gemara, look at this, look at that, look at this cache, that there. So those are all considered to be like a shtickle Dover of it. So we assume that all of that would be mutter. Again, it's all Maisa Hedyot anyway, it's a Chayom, a Dover of it, whatever the different Teirim that we have in terms of that. So we have pretty much a little bit of an overview in terms of Melechas Chol HaMoed, and then we have a few other things that the Chachamim prohibited us from doing in Chol HaMoed, which really don't fit into these categories. And that's the Mishnayos in the third parish of Moed Kadar, which speak about not doing laundry on Chol HaMoed and not getting haircuts and not shaving on Chol HaMoed. So here the Ritva points out that this is not really based on Melacha. Based on the rules of Melacha, all this should have been mutter. Why? Because to do laundry, it's a Maisa Hedyon, anybody can do laundry. And some people, it's not that hard. I know some people are excited bringing the laundry home to their parents. Okay, that's very nice. So most people can figure out Bishas HaChaka to do laundry, so that's considered to be a nice hajjot. It's the Tzorach HaYom, when you clean clothes. So L'char doing laundry should have been mutter. Well, let's say getting a haircut. So even though getting a haircut is probably a nice woman, most guys don't know how to give themselves a haircut, or if I try to give somebody else a haircut, you know, some yeshiva guys like to try off their skills on life overtime, but usually, you could tell that it was not a nice umen at the time. So if a person has to get a haircut from a barber, the chari that's a nice umen, so a nice umen should be also on Chol HaMoed. But here, the Ritva writes it should be mutter anyway because it's tzorach haguf. Why is it tzorach haguf? It's not tzorach hanos haguf, it's tzorach yipui haguf. Anything that I do to make myself look nicer is considered to be also like a tzorach haguf. And a tzorach haguf is the same as Orchol Nefesh. And Orchol Nefesh is totally mutter on Chol HaMoed. As long as it's the tzorach hayom, it's totally mutter. I'm not allowed to cook for after Yontif, but I'm allowed to cook for today, I'm allowed to cook for the last day of the Yontif. So all Orchol Nefesh is mutter on Chol HaMoed, even if it's a Maisa Umar, and all tzorach haguf are mutter, and all yipui haguf is mutter. So it really should have been mutter l'chadchivet to do haircuts and shaving and laundry, everything should have been mutter on Chol HaMoed, based on everything we said. But here Chazal made a special takona, they made a special prohibition that you shouldn't be involved in these kinds of things because we're afraid that if you get your haircuts and you're shaving and your laundry and everything on the Chol HaMoed, then you're not going to do the proper preparations before Yontif. You're going to enter into Yontif looking like a mess with a dirty shirt, with a long hair, with an unkempt beard, everything's going to look like a schlump. So we don't want people to look schlumpy. So therefore, Chazal instituted that you shouldn't do it on Chol HaMoed, thereby forcing everybody to take care of it from before. So it comes to the Rebbe of Shum Menuvo. So that was a Machlekes Rishon Rabbi Tam writes that Abba Zoy, that's the reason for the Yisr. It's not also out of Malacha. Malacha, we were matzah, it's not Zorah. So what if the whole Yisr is based on Shleikonis Lerego? Rabbi Tam said, let's say I did get a haircut before Yontif, and I want to get another one on Chol HaMoed. So I fulfilled what Chazal wanted me to do. So then there's no Yisr to get a haircut. And Chol HaMoed, Rabbi Tam said, for the person who took a haircut beforehand. So the other Rishonim, and most of the Rishonim disagreed with Rabbi Tam and say, no, the Maharal Sayin, who's going to know who took haircuts and who didn't take haircuts? The Mishnah doesn't give this as an example. The Mishnah says, where a guy came and Dina said, yeah, my guy was in Chayrim, my guy was in Avelos, this guy got out of jail, kind of crazy cases where the guy couldn't get a haircut before, and so everybody knows. But for a normal guy, who's going to know? Who's going to monitor who got haircuts, who didn't get haircuts? So therefore, as a low plug, Chazal asked all haircuts on Chol HaMoed, even for the person who did get a haircut from beforehand. So that's what Rabbi Shifanti writes in his Shuvah, that even those who disagreed with Rabbi Natam, but Bizman Hazeh, they would agree to Rabbi Natam. Because Bizman Hazeh, not about haircuts, but about shaving. If a person shaves every day, so when I see a guy shaving on Chol HaMoed, I see a guy walks into Shul Chol HaMoed clean shaven, I'm going to say, you probably didn't shave on Chol HaMoed. You're violating the Yisr D'Rabbanan. Obviously, I realize he shaved 3 days ago, now he's shaving on Chol HaMoed. So for a person who shaves every day, even the Cholkim in Rabbi Natam would concede to Rabbi Natam. Those are Moshe's Chiddush. At the end of the tshuva, Rabbi Moshe writes that to get a haircut is not possible on Chol HaMoed, because people don't get haircuts every day. To do laundry would be a problem on Chol HaMoed. But to shave on Chol HaMoed, the person who shaves all the time, Rabbi Moshe thought was really meager than mutter. And at the end of the tshuva, Rabbi Moshe backs out a little bit. He says that even though it's mutter, but he doesn't think it's appropriate. It's better for mentor not to shave on Chol HaMoed, but he thinks that really, really meager than it's going to be mutter. So there's an oral tradition, it doesn't appear in the tshuva in writings, an oral tradition that people ask Rabbi Moshe, if you really hold this mutter, then you should be mechuyev to shave on Chol HaMoed. Because now you're looking like a shlump for Shabbos Chol HaMoed, looking like a shlump for the last days. So the whole reason that Chazal asked shaving on Chol HaMoed, you're now violating the whole tam of the takana by looking and going into the last days of Yontif Menuvel. So the way the story has it, Moshe said you're right, Rochinami, but in print it doesn't say that. In print it says that you shouldn't shave on Chol HaMoed. Again, there are those who disagree with Ramosha. Some say it was a takana across the board, even though the reason doesn't apply. Still, it then applies. So again, you have yesh v'yesh. There are different opinions in the poskim today, whether for a person who shaves every day, whether they should be shaving on Chol HaMoed. For a regular person, as a person in old days has a beard, or a person who's getting a haircut, those kinds of things, that would be problematic. The laundry would also be included in the original takana.
If you shave, like, you know, before, like, Shabbos Yom Tov, and you shave before, like,
I mean, you don't shave every day. You have Ramesh Kula, you don't shave every day. And Ramesh Kula was that you see a guy shaving, you realize that he, if a guy only shaves once a week, then that's the barbell doesn't really apply. I don't know. I'm not sure. So, Chol Pan HaMais, what's the most important part of Chol HaMais? What Yerushalmi says. Yerushalmi says that the whole reason why we don't do Malach and Chol HaMais is in order to have a day spent with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a halavah goya, to listen and learn Torah, chayv adam, to learn Hilchos Pesach with Pesach, chayv lahakol pei rabbi b'chag, to be involved in the Beis HaMikdash, somebody involved in all ruchniistic pursuits. That's the whole purpose of Chol HaMais. So therefore Chazal or the Torah, whatever it is said, we should try to avoid doing Malacha. So what happens, Yerushalmi says, people are eating Chol HaMais and they're drinking Chol HaMais, and then they start wasting time on Chol HaMais. They're not learning anyway. They're not davening properly anyway. They're not singing Halavah Doya. So it's better than you go to work. That's what Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi quotes one day that says, if I would have the ability to be mevatel the isra of Malacha Chol HaMais, I would do it. That's the Gemara. My mom, the Gemara says that if I would have the koyach to tell people just to forget all of Hilchos Chol HaMais and go back to work, it would be better. Because the alternative is that people are sitting around doing nothing productive. They're going to doing inappropriate things when you have a lot of time in your hand. When people are on vacation, so they tend to do inappropriate things. So they're going to movies that are usher, and they're going to shows that are usher, and they're involved in activities that are usher. So people who are involved in those kinds of things, or even if it's not usher, it's like Devarim B'Teilim, Shukut Behevel. So it's a problem. So it would be better for people to go to work. That's what the Yerushalmi said. But Rabbi Arba Mal didn't get his way. We didn't cancel the Yisrael Malach on Chol HaMais. So it doesn't mean his concern isn't true. His concern is true. It's just that we can't just do the Vata of the Yisrael Chol HaMais just like that. So we're stuck with the Yisrael Chol HaMais, and we have to try to observe Chol HaMais properly. So the only correct way to observe Chol HaMais is time of Simcha. So we should spend some time involved in the Simcha activities. That's true. The Simcha should be an appropriate kind of Simcha. It should be a Simcha that could be an enjoyable Simcha. It should be enjoyable. That's what Simcha is. But it's got to be within the bounds of halacha. Simchas Yontif is not a market to do things that are also all year long. So one has to be careful that Simchas Yontif is appropriate. And one has to spend the greatest amount of Simchas Yontif involved in Limud HaTorah. Kudesh Yavishar Mesam Chalev. There's no greater Simcha than that. So a person has to try their best on Chol HaMais to make the most of these days. This year it's a fairly safe Chol HaMais because they're all of 4 days. One day is Shabbos, one day is Erev Shabbos, one day is Erev Yontif. So there's a limit to how bad things can get. But when sometimes you have 4 days straight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Chol HaMais in a row, so the sky's the limit to how off you can get. So yeah, you're safe. Shabbos, Chol HaMais, change in the middle. But you have to be careful. One has to have their eyes open. One has to be, sometimes their eyes closed. One has to be careful on in Chol HaMais. The Chol HaMais is a productive time. The Chol HaMais, and the whole Yontif, not just Chol HaMais. That I got a letter from somebody the other day. An older gentleman who was writing me a letter about something, thanking me for something, and he wrote a beautiful, beautiful lashon that really caught my attention. He wrote that he's looking forward to another celebration of a glorious Yom Tov. That was his lashon, a glorious Yom Tov. He's right. It's days of Teferes, days of beauty, days of grandeur, of glory. To be able to spend in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, of Zman Chayim Hoseinu, Ein Necham Ben Chol, Ish Oisik B'Torah, it's Baltashchis of the highest order. It's Mamish Ein Lecha Dover Ovid Golem Mizeh. But to take a Yom Tov of Zman Chayim Hoseinu, and to Mamish waste it on the Narish Katarishkeit, it's Hashem Yerachem. Again, I know people are not in control of where they're going to be for Yom Tov. Everyone here is a Bacharim, so other people older than them and are in control of where they're going to be. Location-wise, in terms of Yom Tov, but mindset-wise, it doesn't matter where a person is. Even if a person finds themselves in places that maybe are not necessarily the most conducive to a proper Yom Tov experience, wherever a person finds himself, every place has a Beis Medrash. Even no matter what the other activities are, there's got to be a Beis Medrash. You can't have a face-up program without a Beis Medrash. So find yourself a Beis Medrash and lock yourself with a Beis Medrash. Find yourself a spend time with your family. Also, I'm not saying not to enjoy the Yom Tov. But there's no great chiyuv on Erev Pesach when we spent so much time this year learning about the Dinim of Tesh B'Issu and by Rabbi Motzei and Zman Korban Pesach and so on. There's no great mitzvah to play golf at Erev Pesach. You can do it another time. Erev Pesach is the time of when Kadosh Baruch Hu's man is man of Chayrus, man of Geula. Every she is so sheikh that is chayim in Om Shira. It's such an unbelievable time. So if a person is at home and a person is getting ready for Yom Tov and they're being involved in the last minute, that's wonderful. That's exactly why we said why Chazal asked the Malach and Erev Pesach, according to Rashi, that you should get ready for Yom Tov. If a person finds themselves in a situation that they have nothing to do on Erev Pesach because all their physical needs are being taken care of, so Ashreichem also. So sit and learn Hukzkor Pesach. Sit and learn, open up a Rambam Hukzkor Pesach. Sit and learn Parshas Bo. Sit and learn Mishnayis Pesachim. Sit and be involved in Chaz Hashir. Chaz, get enough to Chaz for the last 8 months. Baruch Hashem. And the days of Yom Tov, it's a rachmanus to waste the days of grandeur, days of glory, to waste on shtuyot, to waste on playing board games on Pesach afternoon, to waste on stam and narishkeits. So Hashem Yirachem, these are days where we can gain so much in terms of ruchnis. We can walk away with such an aliyas and nefesh that it's a rachmanus. It eats away. It should eat away. It should eat away at every Jewish heart to see that when Pesach becomes a time of just mamshtus vehevel of the highest extreme, to the highest cost. So again, no matter where a person is, most of us here are not in control of their destinies in terms of where they're going to be for Pesach. 20 years from now, when you are in control of your destinies, remember you had a Rebbe who told you where Pesach is supposed to be celebrated. So don't forget that. But right now, you're not in control. So right now, but at least in the places where you are, don't get lost in the shuffle. Don't get... Hashem, after learning Pesachim for a whole year, so it should be a different Pesach. This year, this Pesach should be a fundamentally different Pesach than any other Pesach before. Tashbisu, by Rabbi Matzah, these are the things you should be thinking about in Pesach. Not when to catch the last show before, catch the last swim before you go off to the Seder. The things you're supposed to be thinking about. You should be chazmin over the Pesachim. That's the goal for this Pesach. Wish everybody a Chatzosh and Sameach. And we should enjoy it. When is Shir again? When do we start up again?
Thursday,
that first Thursday, the day after Yisruchaz. I'm sure we'll see loads and loads of people. If not for the fact that Pesach is in between, we got to get rid of all the stuff so we can. I promise you we'll have breakfast then. Unless you want some chavish over Pesach, we can talk about that. It's in the first Thursday we'll have Shia. I can't say it'll be a regular Shia or a special Shia, but there will be Shia that day. And then Mirat Hashem, the following week, we'll get back into the swing of things for the long, long Kaizman ahead of us. 1 week.